Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Trueblood, flying a little solo today for just a few minutes anyway. John Paul is out on a video shoot for one of the resources that we've been working on here with Brock Gill. So we're excited about that resource coming out soon. So he's off taking care of that. And we're going to revisit a podcast idea that we've tried once, got some really good feedback on it. And so we're going to revisit this idea of the student pastor hot seat. So we're getting ready to call a youth pastor friend, and we're going to ask them five questions about what's going on in their life, what's going on in their ministry right now. Again, because the reason for this podcast is to serve you as you make disciples and to bring you content that helps you in your role as a student ministry leader. And so one of the best ways to do that, that's why we ask for feedback. It's why we ask for ideas and topics all the time from you guys as the listening audience. We want to hear from you and talk about the things that you care about. One of the best ways to do that is to talk directly to youth pastors in the trenches. And so we want to do that today through the student pastor hot seat. Now this, you know, we just call them on the phone right here in the studio. So we'll see what happens as we welcome in Ian Dunaway, who is a student pastor down in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And so we're going to call Ian. We're going to see what he's up to today as part of the student pastor hot seat episode of the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. Once again, brought to you by the Student Pastor Network, the premier training and development tool for you, the student pastor. So you can find out more information at studentpastornetwork.com. So check that out if you haven't yet. Let's call Ian.
Yes.
Ian.
Yes.
Hey, we have called you today on a new special episode of the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast called the Student Pastor Hot Seat, where we randomly call student pastors and ask them questions. Are you willing to play?
I am willing to play at this point.
Now that you're already on the phone, you're willing to play.
I had no choice, but I didn't need one. I'm here.
Great. Well, we're glad to have you here. And I have introed you only as, this is Ian Dunaway that we're calling, student pastor in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. So why don't we start by hearing a little bit more about you, what you do, where you are, your church, you know, the basics.
Yeah. I am a student and college pastor in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. So right by the University of Alabama. I'm at a church called Capstone, and Capstone it was a church plant about, 15 years ago. I've only been here, for under a year now, but they launched about 15 years ago. The church itself has grown exponentially in the last 3 or 4 years under some healthy and new leadership. And so between college ministry and student ministry, those have also, since I've been able to be here, I think there's a hunger and a desire to grow. And so we've seen a lot of growth there. So really we're building a big foundation and trying to, as well as just build into our students and whether it's college or middle school and high school, a desire to ask questions and to go deeper and know that there's more than just the Bible Belt out there.
Man, so. That's awesome. So one of the reasons why I wanted to call you and hope that you would answer on our student pastor hot seat episode here was because I knew that you had been there for under a year. And so on the podcast, we get a lot of questions about transition and how to start at a new church and all of those kind of things. So I thought it would be awesome to get your thoughts, your opinions on some questions, especially related to, you know, you being at your church for under a year, been in student ministry for a lot of years, but this is a new place for you. So the first question that we ask when we do this episode is, what's your main focus in ministry right now? Like, what is the one thing that is kind of rising to the top for you in your focus in ministry?
Wow, that's a good question. Probably getting as many Instagram likes as I can on every post. I'm just kidding.
Yes.
Trying to get popular. I think you hear a lot of stuff, and I think every place is different for sure. When I've transitioned, I know you guys have transitioned a few other areas as well, but For me, I think everything boils down to building healthy relationships first. I think that, and also, I mean, that along and then the close second is going to be structure. But if you really looked at the number one priority, I want to know students. I want to know families. I think, you know, if you read Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends, Influence People, there's some really good principles in there. And some of it is that they don't need to know your whole story first. You want to know about them. You can't minister to and love people if you don't know where they're coming from and who they are. And so my goal would be is to say, you know, what's your story? What are your needs? And what can I do to help you? I had a really, really wise, he's a Christian counselor that I know, tell me just recently. He said the best three questions you can ask, and I never heard it this way, but I thought it was excellent. What do you need from me? What do you do with what I give you? And where's the disconnect? And so I think that whole first season of ministry is trying to figure out what they need and how to give them what they can use.
Man, that's great. So say those questions one more time, because I want to make sure people listening to the podcast get those questions, because I think they're, man, that's a great way to look at this. So it was...
I didn't have my slow James Earl Jones voice on. I got caught off guard. I'm sorry.
No, that's something you have to warm up to. The James Earl, you can't just like pop it out of nowhere. It has to be warmed up to.
Man, I'm working on it. So here they are.
Why don't you try to give, let's try to do a voice this time for the, you could do Morgan Freeman or James Earl Jones or someone, your pick, Darth Vader, perhaps.
I could give you a good as I bring it in, but I think that's all I got. I've got that Easter weekend hangover right now.
No doubt. That's a great point, because as we record this, it's 2 days after Easter weekend. So I know church leaders everywhere are waking up today going, man, that was a long weekend.
Sorry for dating your podcast. I would say the three questions, they apply almost everywhere. And so, and I'm not, I mean, I'm a really relational person, but I struggle with, and part of how these questions help me is that I struggle a lot with making sure that people, like when I get into not conflict necessarily, but really trying to, I'm a horrible counselor. I'm a great relational, you know, minister, but sometimes I struggle. And so those are good questions to help check me. But the first one again was, what do you need from me?
Yeah.
And you know, and you kind of have to tailor that, because in student ministry, one of the things that in another area, and I'm trying to build up to some of this here, we used to have students who we call them a creative team, and they would say, you know, well, what do you need to hear? And we'd say, we want to preach on what you need to hear. We want to do worship like you want to do. And sometimes, you know, it was goofy stuff, or it was something that didn't quite make sense. And they're like, we want to do Atheist Week. And I was like, well, that's good, but we're probably going to call it Atheist Week, you know, or whatever. you would dive down and you go, well, hold on, let's talk about it. And then really, when you dug down into what they needed, they said, we really want an environment on like a Wednesday night versus a home group or versus this, or, you know, they would kind of go through what they wanted, where they could bring a friend who was totally opposed to the gospel and feel like they'd be reached too, which is always, you kind of checks you, because you go, that's the goal anyway. Yeah. But then that helped us really lead into saying, okay, let's tailor our environment this way. And so anyway,
man, I love that, because it takes that question, what do you need from me? It forces you as the leader to really dive into, whether it be a relationship with a student or a family, a parent, or with a volunteer leader. It really causes you to press into not just the surface of what you need from me, but like, what are you actually saying? Like, what are the roots of what you're telling me? And you get to the point where the students are saying, hey, we really want an environment where we can bring people that don't know the Lord. Like, that's something that we want out of our ministry. And I think that's, man, you wouldn't have gotten there if you didn't ask the question, what do you really need? And then taking the time to dive in below the surface. I think that's great.
Well, and I think the hardest thing to realize is they're blind spots for a reason. And so, you know, we always think we're doing everything really well and really communicating, until it's like the marriage counseling. What do you hear when I tell you this? It's always 100% different. So,
yeah, exactly. So let's do question number two. So it was, what do you need from me? And what was number two?
Two was, what do you do with what I give you? And so that's probably the more, you know, and again, you're going to always, I always figure that, and it never makes it any easier, but I figure that first question is always going to lead to, if there's people that are going to abuse it or not, but the majority of people are going to be honest. But that second question, what do you do with what I give you? That's the really telling one, for you to say, okay, so I've been spending, like, you have to be open to say, I've been spinning my wheels for nothing here, or I just need to tweak or tailor. And so, you know, one of the things we're kind of looking at our church right now where we're at and saying, okay, we're doing family ministry, because, you know, we know student ministry is parent ministry too. And how do we come alongside and equip families? And there's just a lot of families due to the reputation of the church, which is reaching a lot of de-churched people, and it being a newer church, that we want to be able to walk alongside a family who really hasn't thought about gospel-centered parenting. Hmm. And so some, you know, this idea, we haven't even used it, so don't peg me on this, but thinking about, man, what if we gave first-time parent bags as along with first-time student bags? What if we had an easy resource and a fun giveaway and something that could help them connect to the student pastor and help equip their students in a way that we could follow up and say, hey, you know, it gives you a conversation topic, but when what we've gotten from a lot of parents is just, we're struggling with this for the first time. We got a middle schooler and it's our first one and we don't know what to do. And so kind of being able to say, you know, I can write a blog all day long, or I can call you and see how things are going, or write you cards. But man, if you're really taking that and saying that's nice, but you're not doing a whole lot with it, then what are you doing with what I give you? So now I can try and give you what you need, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
and that goes to leaders, to students. I mean, they're not inextricably linked, but they are so close that once you answer, you know, what do you need from me? Then you automatically start saying, okay. And then you start asking questions. Well, what if I gave you this? Well, what if I gave you that?
Yeah.
And you know, it's a trial and error kind of thing, but to some extent, but even asking that with your volunteers and your leaders, because we all know, you know, ministries don't grow without good leaders, and they don't reach more students. And so to be able to ask them, hey, do you need, you know, a systematic theology book for me, or do you just need encouragement and love, or do you need your session earlier?
Yeah. And so that question again, forces you into relationship with people and getting opinions and thoughts before you roll something out. So the idea of the first time parent pack. So when you have somebody visit your church, family visit your church, this is something you're gaining research on before you spend a lot of time and effort and energy just to roll something out. Like you said, it's trial and error. You talk to a bunch of people, you get, hey, what do you need from me? And then if we were to do this, how would that fit with you? How would you use it? What would this be of value for you? I wonder a lot of times in ministry, if we are just out here doing a lot of things that we think are really valuable, and the people that we minister to would say, yeah, that's not really valuable to me. This would be more valuable. And so finding that out, I think, is a great question. And then the third one that I really love is, I think you said, where are the gaps between those two things, right?
It is. Yeah. Where's the disconnect? Where are the gaps between those two ideas? And that really, if you weren't uncomfortably fleshing out where you weren't doing well, like, that's a great one to start with and go, oh, okay. So it highlights, okay, well, I see now maybe I don't need to do first time parent pack. Maybe you just need somebody to come over to your house once every couple months and love on your family, or, you know, whatever that looks like. I'm terrible with hypotheticals, but all that to say, you're right. It forces you also, I think, as we talk about relationships, it talks to the other person and says, you need not get uncomfortable, but you need to be 100% honest. Like, it gives an opportunity of freedom for them to speak in where I don't think that a lot of people would feel the liberty to do that.
Yeah. And in doing that, man, you've got to be really, you've got to be really secure. You've got to be really open to people giving you constructive criticism. Anytime you ask somebody, hey, will you reveal to me the gaps that you see in what we're doing? I mean, people generally line up for the constructive criticism more than the positive encouragement in ministry.
Right.
But it's a great question. I think we fail to ask the how am I falling short or where are the gaps question enough. Like, I know in my own leadership of the Lifeway team, like, it's something that I need to consider all the time, is like, hey, where are the gaps in my own leadership? How am I falling short? And then what can I do to improve those weak points. Because it's those weak points, you know, in a, we hear the illustration all the time that you're only as strong as the weakest link or whatever, right? Like there's right. this element of your leadership that's going to be your ceiling and it's going to keep you from moving forward. And you can put all of these examples leadership people say all the time. But the reality is all those things are true. Like our ministries, if we don't know the gaps in our ministries, then we're not going to be able to make the changes necessary to improve the way that we disciple people and families. So, man, I love those three questions. And we spent a lot of time on those three. So we're going to motor to the next, to our next question, if that's okay. Yeah. So what's the main focus in ministry right now? What's something you're learning right now is the next question. What's something that you personally are learning?
Personally about ministry or personally in my own life?
You can take it either way. We can get really vulnerable and personal and like, like what are you like? What are you learning right now?
Hard pass. All right. So,
What are you learning right now? Can be ministry. Can be principle based. Can be whatever you want.
Let me take. I guess, man, I can take that two ways. I think, and it's a great question. I think personally, as far as ministry goes, learning a lot about sharpening tools in my tool belt that I haven't had to use before. And so, you know, I've normally come from either large production-based churches that were more, they weren't like attraction-based model in the extreme, but that was just kind of more, they were event-driven and, I've been at churches where you had a lot of resources from a production standpoint. And you know, we did great. I really do believe we did good discipleship and there's a lot of longevity. I still keep up with students from old ministries, but at the same time, I'm in an environment here where all the focus is discipleship because there just isn't a whole lot of production ability. The church runs about, we're running about 1,000 people a week. And so it's a good sized church, but that's just not what this church values. And so, you know, it's always funny. God sends Paul to the Gentiles, and people where they don't really fit. And I was homeschooled all my life, and I spent 20 hours a week in public schools for 4 years as a student pastor. and so you go places where you don't belong. But it's just interesting to see to be in an environment. What I'm learning right now is really how to spend my focus not event to event, but on relationship to relationship in a deeper way. I've always been a relational person, but it's kind of a different environment when you're not like, hey man, I can't wait to see you at our massive blowout on Wednesday night, you know, and you're like, oh, we're going to go do home groups. I can't wait to see you. And it gives a greater ability, I think, to train leaders and to go deeper and clearer in how you do ministry in that situation. Does that make sense? I may be a little bit murky.
No, that's awesome. I love it.
Because at the end of the day, discipleship, you can wipe away the lights and you can wipe away, you know, and that was not something I depended on as much, but it did draw a crowd to speak good truth into. But the funny thing is, it's interesting to watch probably a closer to New Testament model as far as, you know, how we personally do home groups on Wednesday nights, and then we do a once a month worship service for now. And man, for us, it's just great to see students that realize they're loved and cared for by all of these adult leaders.
And what I would emphasize there is kind of what came out in the way that those three questions that you've been asking is that that approach to ministry really drives you into deeper, more meaningful relationships than the one that you reference. It's like, hey, can't wait to see you at the big thing that's happening this week. Invite your friends. And if the relationship stops there, like, hey, buddy, see you this week. Invite your friends. Then we can come across as really relational people in student ministry without having actual deep, impactful relationships.
Yeah. And you know, I think at the moment, it's just interesting. We're, to add to that, you know, we've got an upcoming or a group of seniors that, you know, they've seen three or four student pastors here and nobody for the long haul, and they're getting ready to go to college. So we're going as deep as we can with them. And we're also realizing as well of trying to build deep relationships with a large group of middle school students, and knowing that we've got, you know, longevity there, and that doesn't, you know, you can do the, I've volunteered in student ministries and been around student pastors where, gosh, I'm trying to think. We would essentially sit and talk back and forth, and I never really felt like I had a conversation with the person.
Yeah.
You know, they had a conversation with themselves, and it was great. The whole time they were looking somewhere else.
And you observed. But, you observed their personal conversation.
You don't ever leave those and go, wow, that was deep. Like, so, but I, you know, I, the funny thing was I got recruited for a ministry to serve in a ministry one time, and I don't think they asked a single question about me, like in the whole lunch date, and it was a free lunch for them. So it was fine. But all that to say, that was just a little youth pastor tidbit. But man, I just, when I look at ministry, when I look at, the kind of ministry that I want to be a part of, I believe that there's a lot of things that change. And one of the things that I've always held fast to from the time I was young, because my dad raised me with like 3 or 4 line limericks, like to, I don't know, I guess that's just because of how he learned. And so one of the things he always used to teach were, you know, methods are many, principles are few. Methods always change and principles never do. And so, you know, I would always rather have, whether I've got, you know, a huge band and fog machines, or whether I've got home groups full of students, I would always rather have a principle-based ministry rather than a method-based. And so when I look at the principles of it, we always would build ministries with people who would come up and go, you know, I've been to this other student ministry, and it's not a competition or anything, but I've come to this other student ministry, and man, nobody shook my hand, nobody talked with me, and I don't get to even leave this one before I get to see the student pastor. And that's when you've got 150, 200 people. But when your desire is to love every person that walks in the door, it's very amazing that you don't even have to really see every person for them to know that to be true.
Yeah, that's good. So the next question is, what are you preaching through right now? Like, what series are you in the middle of? What are you preaching this week?
Yeah. So our church is more expository in nature. I'm more exegetical, but I also like trying to say, and I can go, you know, verse by verse or book by book. But we kind of also want to use the opportunity, since our main stage is that way, to also pick topics occasionally. And so right now, a pastor we both know, I used to say, preaching series. You'll correct me, preaching series, but always preach book by book, verse by verse. And so like you could go through 5 series if you're in the book of Acts, if you decide to go through it in a series. And so we kind of picked, for our high school students, we wanted to emphasize different things than for our middle school students. And so this week we're talking about in Matthew where Christ challenges the people, and doing this in home groups, writing discussion guides, where Christ says, you know, we talked about the Lord's Prayer last week, and this week the idea of, you know, do you fast and pray for people to see you? Are you just doing works on the outside so that everybody can realize that you are moral and that you, I mean, we are in the shiny, you know, rodeo belt buckle of the Bible Belt. And so that's just how we live. You know, as long as I don't sleep with too many people, as long as I don't do drugs, as long as I don't do this, as long as I look good, you know, I'm fine. And that's the culture that we're fighting. And I mean, we've got kids that I'd say are spiritual orphans that are starting to come to this group with friends who, you know, we'll have conversations where he goes, well, my dad tells me that that this Bible thing can't be true. And I mean, just really kind of, you know, not to sound crass, but arguments kind of born out of some ignorance of, it's not even an intelligent argument. You can just tell that people are either super moral or really don't like it.
Yeah.
And really don't like Christ. And so we have gone thematically, but picking passages so we can kind of get through it, going through the book of Matthew this semester with our high school students and middle schoolers. And so we've called the middle school group, we've called it hashtag savage, how to be a savage follower of Jesus. And so, you know, you kind of turn the idea of people who would use savage to say, well, forget you, I don't care, and they do something obnoxious or rude, to switch that into saying, what would you do unashamedly for Jesus, and what should you do? And so we really attack the same passage that we would attack in high school, and high school's is called Following Christ on My Own, and we want to be able to kind of emphasize those in different ways with them to say, you know, how are you going to, once you leave, because we have primarily seniors right now, when you leave this student ministry, how are you going to follow Christ on your own? And then with middle schoolers, hey, how are we going to keep this thing going? And how are you going to live when you leave this group?
What's the best thing you've done for self-development lately? So this is apart from ministry. This is how you are growing as a husband, as a person, as a leader. Like, what's the best thing that you've done for self-development?
Let me turn on the violins for a second. I'll get real intimate. this sounds really crazy. Or maybe, I don't know. It's always a mixed bag when you say this, but hey, nobody can see my face and I'm more than happy to be honest. I think I'm a huge proponent. I have a family member who is one, but seeing a Christian counselor, I had some really rough, a couple rough periods in ministry before getting here and just working through some of that. I mean, it takes a toll, but I would really encourage, I mean, for me, but I would encourage others too. I think every pastor especially should just see a Christian counselor. Doesn't mean, I mean, I'm not suicidal, I'm not going crazy, but man, to be able to go and just to talk through some stuff that you may not always feel the liberty to talk through, that's been an incredibly freeing thing for me as a student pastor, even to ask questions and to learn more about how to minister and counsel with people as a really bad counselor. Like, I'm the guy that says, well, fix it. Like, if it's wrong, it's fix it. And just to understand the process of grace in that and to see that in my life, and that along with spending more time studying God's word outside of what I'm preaching and teaching.
Yeah.
So to do those things, I mean, I think that especially, you know, you said part of, as you transition, you hear a lot of things. I think one of them is that, man, you're not everybody's favorite, especially when you bring some kind of change, or we're building a student ministry from the ground up. And so, you know, there's a lot of feathers that you can ruffle, and a lot of people, and even unintentionally, and you can do it in humility. You know, everybody wanted to kill Jesus at one point. And so when he was going to the cross, so they loved him one day and they didn't like him the next. And so when you are trying to be faithful to Christ and to the gospel, it can be a real struggle, sometimes to know that. And so I think for me to be healthy and to be able to even work those issues, I just have a really great pastor and a great church situation where they're encouraging, they've got my back, and I've really felt like in the last 6 months to be able to just hang out occasionally with a counselor when I feel like I need it, and set up an appointment with them, and then to be studying God's word outside of what I'm already working on, and what I'm preaching on, it really helps take the focus off of, I mean, because you know how bad this can be. I'm so worried about teaching these great truths I figured out for everybody else that I really don't apply anything to my own life.
Man, that's strong.
Yeah.
So. And the counseling thing is something that we've talked about on the podcast several times before. Man, it's such a healthy approach just to have that outside objective opinion, somebody that's not really connected to your ministry or even at times you as a person other than that relationship, to be able to speak in and ask questions. There's just a different way that they ask questions that causes you to process things differently and see things from a different point of view. So healthy for something to be, for somebody to be a part of that process, especially when they're leading a ministry, something that's really important that, you know, they're passionate about and that they give their life to. Man, being healthy, that sometimes that can take health away from us. And so finding things that can put health back into us and make sure that we're healthy in that process along the way is so important. So, man, I really want to say thank you for your transparency there and being willing to share some of those things that you're doing to be a healthy person, not so that you can be a better minister, but just so that you can be healthy in yourself. So I appreciate the honesty. I appreciate the time. Any last words you want to give before we sign off here?
Oh, man. I would say there's just one thing that kind of stuck in my mind. I'm the guy that, you know, when you feel like you should have gotten a better burn in a conversation, I think about it like 4 days later. But as we were talking, it came to my mind. I would say when we talk about those three questions that we talked about in the very beginning, as you begin to ask those questions, sometimes it is prudent to think about who you're asking those questions and what format. And the example is this. You don't necessarily want to go to, if you're really wanting to go deep on some things, you don't want to get people that are just going to agree with you. But if you have a question that really fits your core parents, then ask your core parents. If you've got a question that really fits, you know, there's going to be the third time guest kid that doesn't really, you know, he's just like, man, I want us to do an event about free beer, you know? So, and when you're talking about what are we going to plan, what are we going to do? You want to grab the right people in the right room, but I think that our inclination, because I think that there's some arrogance to it, there's some narcissism to it, but sometimes there's just some weariness to it of making sure we have people that will be honest with us, not just people that will agree or pulling in people that are just going to be destructive. So I don't know. I would just pick those those people. But man, that's all I got. As much as I really appreciate y'all and am honored to serve alongside you for this 30 minutes.
Absolutely, man. Thanks again for the time, and we will talk to you very soon.
Looking forward to it. Y'all have a good day.
All right. See you, buddy.
Bye.
Well, I hope that you have gained from our conversation with Ian today. Hope that you have been challenged, that you have been encouraged by hearing from another person who is in the trenches of student ministry alongside you. Man, think about those three questions that he asks and how that drives you further into relationships with people. I think that was some great stuff there that Ian's been working on and been doing and trying to figure out in his own context. I think that's something that applies across the board, a good principle that you can begin to step into and use in your place right away. So this has been the Student Pastor Hot Seat on the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. We will see you next time.